final hour of Ben and Woods here on a Wednesday. Annie and Elston coming up at 10 o'clock.
Still got an hour?
We still have one more hour to go. Now, that won't be the case next Wednesday. Correct, Paul? Next Wednesday.
I believe that is correct.
We will be done with our show and turning things over to an early pregame show with Sam Levitt from Milwaukee.
Live from the Pfister.
Next Wednesday, we have a 9:10 pregame show, so we'll be off about 9:05.
All right, we'll still be on for another couple of minutes.
Okay.
We'll really be dragging at this point. All right, we got four more minutes to kill here.
If you want to hear bad radio, listen to Ben and Woods on a three-hour show.
Oh,
I'm serious.
I'll do one better.
We don't know what we're doing.
Here's the long tease, because I was going over our scheduling. We have a couple other games where you might get like 30 minutes off, 9:30
30-minute window.
Coast. Yeah. May 20th is a Monday. They have a weird four-game series in Atlanta over the weekend.
Okay, but a wraparound series?
It's not Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
They call that a wraparound series.
Monday, still the getaway day, so they will be playing. First pitch is scheduled for 9:20 a.m. on a Monday. So we will be coming in, and we'll be out of here at 8:15.
Yeah! How bad could we be in 2 hours and 15 minutes?
Hey, do you mind coming in?
Can you guys start at 4?
Is it even worth it to come in for 2 hours?
I don't know. We could go national, just listen to everyone's draft talk and things like that. 2 hours and 50. So we're really bad on 3 hour
shows.
That's
not Memorial Day. Is it a holiday?
No,
Monday?
It's
the week before.
The week before.
We're really bad in the 3 hour show. We just S our pants. We don't know what we're doing. Imagine us with a 2 hour and 15 minute show, how bad that's going to be. I mean, I can't. It's hard for me to wrap my head around.
So we'll be off at 8:15 that Monday, and then the next week we're off entirely from Memorial Day.
This is great. Now we know how the other half lives. It feels great. It's fantastic.
Vacation talk with Ben and Woods. You were trying to figure out some vacation days earlier.
Yeah.
You're going to be leaving us, me and Paul, for a few days.
Yeah, I'm going to go. We got a family trip to Hawaii.
Ooh.
And
that's Ben territory right
very
there.
Very much so. You haven't been in a while.
No.
To Hawaii. I'm leaving July 31st, be back the 6th. Don't talk to me. Don't text me.
Just bring your equipment with you. You can do the show.
Let's do the show.
Mahalo. I mean, 3 a.m.
with
here.
The time difference.
You so bitch.
3 a.m.
Hannah will be up at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
What, 3 a.m. is when we go on over there?
I called in once from Hawaii, but I had to get up early just to catch the end of your show.
Yeah.
In California, with the time difference.
I'm going to forget that I know you guys for a week, just so you know, and I've never heard of the San Diego Padres. I'm going to play with my kids and have a good time and drink things out of coconuts and pineapples and whatnot, and can't wait. Can't wait for it.
All right, let's get to some headlines. It's time for today's Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a...
All right. Gentlemen, big news in baseball. We talked about it earlier with former Baltimore Orioles player Adam Jones, but Jackson Holliday got the call-up. We were expecting that at some point, and one of the best moments anytime somebody gets the call-up is the video, the moment of him getting the news. The video is going around today. I'm going to play it for you guys right here. This is Jackson Holliday sitting down in the manager's office.
Jax, what's up, bro?
What's up? At first, I just want to commend you for how you've gone about your business down here, dude. Like, that's not easy to do. You kind of carry yourself with a chip on your shoulder. And I think these guys, they notice it. They feed off of it. Mm-hmm. All right, so keep doing what you're doing. All right, it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of time. Has your dad been in town? They haven't come yet? Shit. All right.
My brother's right in the middle of his season.
He's in his season?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, he's probably a great resource for you, right? I'm sure that you guys are tight. He's giving you good advice. Mm-hmm. And all those times that you've been in the locker room and stuff, you know how this goes.
Yep.
Okay. So for tomorrow, trying to get guys out early. First, tonight, I want you to call your dad. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk to him. And I want you to thank him for all the times that he's allowed you to come to the clubhouse, mm-hmm. be on his pass list, you know, let you hit with the big boys. That's pretty special. And it plays into a lot of what you're about. The second thing I want you to tell him is that now it's time for him to ask permission to be on Jackson Holliday's pass list.
Come on.
Because you're going to the big leagues.
Awesome.
Hell yeah. All right.
Awesome.
I'm fired up.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm fired up. You've been exceptional down here, your brother. You're 20 years old.
I appreciate it.
To handle all this stuff,
dude. That's awesome.
Thank you. All right.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Call your dad.
I will.
God, call your dad.
What a moment.
So I'm assuming that was Buck Britton, the manager of the AAA Norfolk team that was delivering the news?
Sure.
Take your word for it.
I know this is completely off the point, but Paulie was playing the video. Can you call up the video just again briefly? He had set up like a cell phone in the corner of the room just so he could record the moment. And the camera was trained on Jackson Holliday, of course. But for some reason, Buck Britton has a case of San Pellegrino with a fireman's hat on top of
it. Just, helmet.
Just sitting right in the shot. And I could not... Like, why do you have a fireman's, like a fire chief's helmet on top of a case
baseball
of
Sam? Players are weird.
They're
Sam
weird.
Pellegrino in your manager's office.
Some weird bit, I'm sure.
the reliever of the night.
Yeah,
you can do a fireman's helmet.
And you just like San Pellegrino water, apparently.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's a nice moment. I mean, I'm sure he's been expecting it for a while. It probably should have happened right out of spring training.
Look at his hands. He's just sitting there kind of kneading his hands together, like waiting for the guy to finish his bit.
Why are you recording this conversation?
Why did you call me in today, Skip? Really cool. Really cool moment.
Always love those moments.
I mean, you get more and more of these moments as you get to 48, but the fact that Matt Holliday's kid, who doesn't feel like he's an old-time ball player.
God, Matt Holliday looks like he could play.
Matt Holliday feels like a current ball player to me. And the fact that his kid is now in Major League Baseball is one of those moments that does make you feel old. I mean, the fact that Cody Bellinger has been in the league for so long, it's like, Clay Bellinger doesn't feel like he's that old to me as well. So you're definitely getting to a different generation of baseball players now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I love those moments.
Well, that was emotional, happy. This is going to be emotional, sad, but a pretty powerful moment yesterday in Boston with the Boston Red Sox. They were celebrating, the 20th anniversary of the 2004 team that ended the curse, won the World Series, and they had a bunch of the guys out there, Johnny Damon, Manny Ramirez, all those guys were out there in uniform on the field for their presentation. They had a video. And of course, one key member from that team wasn't there. Tim Wakefield, who passed away back in October at just 57 years old due to brain cancer. And then we got the awful news less than 5 months later, his wife Stacy passed away. She had her own battle with cancer. And you just feel so bad for their children, Brianna and Trevor. And I mean, it's tough to watch this. You're not a human if you don't get emotional watching this video. But there was clips of Brianna was asked to throw out the first pitch yesterday to Jason Varitek, Tim's buddy, battery mate, etc.
Catching the pitch is their father's former teammate and dear friend who has become more
all
like a family member to
her.
Trevor and Brianna, Jason Varitek. Okay, Brianna, let's see a pitch.
Floated it in, knuckleball.
Nice job scooping it, though, by Jason Varitek on the short hop. It was a fine
monster.
Pitch.
You're a monster. How did I know that was coming?
Simple as could be, Jason Varitek. Very well done. Thank you very much.
It's also a catcher, not a pitcher.
Yeah, correct. Correct. That was beautiful.
That was a nice, touching moment for sure. Yeah. I just feel so bad for those kids. Losing a parent is tough. To lose them both
terrible.
So back to back and so quickly is
and these
just
are young,
devastating.
These are young kids. If you're listening,
I didn't realize they were
video,
so young. I
they
just
are
assumed,
young
oh,
children.
They're probably like in their 20s or something. No, she's much younger than I realized.
It's just heartbreaking, man. They got to hold up the World Series trophy. The kids did. And it was just, it was a very, very beautiful and powerful scene.
Yeah, it's
in
incredible. Incredible. I mean, just showing people in the stands, everyone's dabbing their eyes
How
and wiping their noses, man. Holy cow.
All right. Well, on a completely separate note from that, awkward transition into what's always a weird story. Anybody here have tattoos? I know Woodsy does.
Terrible.
Ben,
one, yes.
Any tattoos we don't know about?
No tattoos.
Shocked. All right. Well, if you have a tattoo out there, this is some news that maybe you could use. If you have a tattoo that you don't like, you regret, and it has been on you for, I guess, 10 years or more, PetSmart is doing a contest where they will select 5 winners. You go onto their website and apply, and they will fly you out to Los Angeles for a tattoo session with an artist to have your tattoo that you don't like get it redone in honor of a pet that you lost. You go to PetSmartTattooRedo.com, send in a photo of your bad tattoo that you don't like, send in a picture of the pet that's going to inspire the new ink, and they will cover, like I said, they'll fly you out for 2 nights to Los Angeles. They're going to cover a tattoo session for up to $2,500. So you're not going to get like a full sleeve or a back tattoo or something.
A back piece.
But, you know, if you have just something on your arm or your shoulder or something that you just, you know, that was kind of stupid. And you want to honor a lost pet.
Probably would have in my younger days. Like getting a pet. I've lost a lot of pets recently, and now I'm like, oh, that sucks. But it's not that I'm not sad. I am. I saw one yesterday. It looks like one that I lost last year. One was sticking her head out the window barking at the grocery store, and it made me a little bit emotional.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that I feel like 25-year-old Woods absolutely would have gotten a tattoo of his dead dog. 48-year-old Woods is like...
I mean...
I thought about like a... I think they call it like the graveyard tattoos or something, where you can honor family members, friends, pets, whatever. And I thought about maybe doing like a paw print, something to memorialize our pets that we've lost.
Yeah,
and we'll
lose. Somebody.
You kind of add to it.
Oh no! Here it goes.
Can you see it? You can see it coming.
Oh,
can't you?
I know what's coming.
Pets are beloved, but you're gonna have probably many, many of them over your course of your life. You can't, if you got a tattoo for every single one, I mean, you'd be like Post Malone at some point.
I literally would have 50.
Like tattoos all over your face and your pets. I mean,
I'm 33.
Otherwise, then you're just
picking
favorites.
I'd have 2 tattoos right now.
Is that it?
I would only have 2.
All right. You've only had 2 beloved pets in your life?
You don't have to do like a full portrait of each dog or something. Like you can get creative with it.
This one, though, sounds like it's a pretty serious thing. If they're covering up an old tattoo, we're getting a big tattoo here of a pet.
It depends on how big the tattoo is that you need to get redone.
I guess $2,500. So that's a large tattoo session that they're planning for.
Satan's Blowfish says Ben is a rain cloud in desperate search for parades.
Yes.
Like, he loves his pets. He's the only person in his family that actually cares for, feeds, walks the pets.
People feed them. I have to walk them.
Walk
I do
them.
All the walking. And
he hates them.
I have to pick up all the doo-doo as well.
He does all the dirty work. But if they both ran away today, you'd be like, all right. It would not affect you. You would not make poster boards.
You probably wouldn't
post
even mention
it.
He
wouldn't tell
them.
You
wouldn't even know.
If they ran away, they get whatever they deserve. That serves them right. You think you can find a better life out there? Be my guest,
yeah, you're
Reggie
stealing,
and Shalane.
Now you're stealing my
with
line.
Your kids, yeah.
That I told Bo last
you
night.
Think you
hey,
got,
you don't like it here? Pack a bag, dude. You'll find a better place, I'm sure.
We'll try the wilds of Encinitas.
Go
and see
ahead.
How it treats you out there. The mean streets.
Just looking at me.
Of
like,
Encinitas.
Are you insane? I'm 6.
We had a cat and a dog growing up, and I couldn't stand our cat. The thing was just a jerk.
Cats.
He was just a little a-hole like cats can be, and I was fed up with him one time, and finally my mom just got sick of me bitching about it and called my bluff. She said, fine, take him in the car. Drive him to the nice neighborhood, Normandy Park.
Yeah.
Drop him off. Nice family. I'm sure we'll take him in. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Can't do that.
Yeah, call your bluff for sure.
Old Jinxie.
Jinxie. Really, Jinxie? Like Meet the Parents?
Literally like a year after Meet the Parents came out. My mom, it was a black cat. My mom goes, got to name him Jinxie, right?
Jinxie Cat, where are you? I love you.
He doesn't have thumbs, Parker.
So good. Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome.
That was the Rhino Report.
Any more positivity you want to crap on today, Ben?
No. I don't always have to be the one who talks. Feel free.
What are you thinking about over there?
Anytime. Charlie, what are we going to talk about coming up next? I know we've got some Legion tickets to give away.
All right, but, do that.
I would like to talk about the Masters, and I don't know how...
It's not going to go over.
How enthusiastic you will be about that.
It's not. Yeah. I like it, but it's not going to go over well, I'll tell you right now.
We'll discuss during the break, and we'll let you know what we settled on when we return after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, you have 7 minutes. 7 minutes in heaven.
To talk about the Masters?
Get it off
your
chest.
You're letting me go.
This is your show, too.
Letting me go. First major of the year. Par 3 contest is today.
Okay.
Starts in about 90 minutes, I believe.
Okay.
Mentioned it earlier. The weather looks like it's going to be a big factor. Starting around 2 a.m. in Augusta, they're forecasting winds of up to 50 miles an hour and about an inch and a half of rain throughout the day tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be the worst day by far.
And then hopefully after that, it will lighten up a little bit. But my guess is they will not be able to complete the entire first round. I mean, they'll be lucky if they even get... Like, the guys who are supposed to tee off at 8 a.m. East Coast time, 5 a.m. our time, they'll be lucky if they kind of get off, like, midday, late in the day. The people with the afternoon tee times probably
don't even get
started at all on Thursday. They don't get drunk tonight. They don't play their first round until Friday, and then they'll have to go right back out for their second round. So that'll impact, like, Tiger Woods. That's terrible for him.
Yeah, 36 holes in a day.
If he's going to have to play 36 holes on Friday just to get in, I don't know that he can do that. He might have to withdraw from the tournament if the weather stays like that and he can't split up his rounds. So that's a big factor for him in just terms of the health. Most people, for good reason, have Scottie Scheffler as the favorite. He has two firsts and a second place finish in his last three starts. Augusta is a ball striker's course, and there is nobody in the world who hits the ball better than Scottie Scheffler. It's just the flat stick, the putter, that holds him back. When he putts well, he wins.
But he has been putting much better.
Much better this season, and especially the last couple of starts. So he's the logical pick, obviously. What is always intriguing, though, is this is the first time in many, many months now since the last year's British that you got the LIV golfers and the PGA Tour guys all together. So it's been like 9 months since these guys have played in a tournament at the same time. And even I don't follow LIV golf very closely. I know Sergio like finished second last week. Is his form good? Is John Rahm's form good? Is Brooks Koepka playing well? I don't know. I watch at least enough PGA Tour golf to have an idea of guys who are playing well. Like, I like Hideki Matsuyama this week because he's been playing much better than he has the last couple of years. And obviously track record at Augusta is important. You know, for a guy who's won a green jacket before, you get some course knowledge around that place. I think that's really big. Last week's winner, Akshay Bhatia. I love lefties at Augusta. You know, Phil has won there. Mike Weir, you've got lefties seem to have a good advantage there. But for Bhatia, you know, most guys who know they're going to play in the Masters get to go a few times over the course of the year, play some practice rounds, learn the ins and outs. He didn't qualify until last week, so he's probably stepping on the property for the first time on Monday.
Panic.
That's a lot to ask for a guy who's even playing some really good golf right now. So don't think that he's going to be a factor. Just always an interesting tournament. Always a beautiful scene.
I'll tell my Masters story. That my dad told me. I've told you guys this before. I think I've told it on the air before too. But he was friendly with Frank Broyles, who was the athletic director at University of Arkansas. And Broyles told him a story. He's a member at Augusta, so membership obviously is very limited. You would think, hey, I'm a billionaire. Like if I am a billionaire, they'll take me right away. No. No,
let's just say there's no website to apply.
Correct. There's no
phone number to call. Someone will tap you on the shoulder and say, you are now a member, or you are cordially invited to come out and apply for membership. Otherwise, don't even ask.
I'm sure it's a huge, huge thing. And there was this kind of young upstart doctor, young guy in Augusta, and he was very well liked and loved in the community. And they thought, what a great member he will be. So they invite this guy to join, and he joins, of course, and he goes out there, and he is in awe. He's at Augusta. He belongs to Augusta, and he's out there playing and putting, Ben, and chipping, and he's playing a few times a week. And after a while, after a couple months of this, the members had to come over and say, hey, bud, settle down. He's like, what are you talking about? They're like, You're here too much. You're playing too much. You need to ease off the gas. And he's like, I'm a member here, finally. You're always on the putting green. You're always on the driving range. You're always playing. So don't. And he's like,
what? Don't take this the wrong way. It's not Loma Santa Fe Country Club. You can't just show up every day and play because you're a member.
And he's like, I'm a member. That is the weirdest. That's the weirdest part of Augusta for me. Like, because, you know, it's not inexpensive, and you know that it's very prestigious, but you're like, so you're telling me I'm a member of this club, but I can't come. Yeah, you can come, you just got to space it out a little bit more, which I totally, it's like if you have a Ferrari, you want to drive it. I would imagine me, like there are people that will buy a Ferrari and park it in the garage. If I have a Ferrari, I'm driving it. We're taking it to spring training. Like, I don't want to put the miles on it. No, like, I'm driving this thing into the ground, man. That was one of those things.
Yeah, I think most of their members, I mean, probably none of them actually live in Augusta,
right.
Georgia.
Georgia
is not really a great place to live from what I've heard. So they'll come in and they have the cottages where you come and stay. And you stay for like two nights and you play two or three rounds and then you leave. And maybe you come back again in a month or two and play again. But you don't just sit there for 3 weeks and play.
That's just practice.
It's uncouth.
I think it's so good.
It's uncouth.
You go to Costco, the guy's like, you're here again? No. Sorry, buddy. Take it back.
I'm a member. I've got a Costco card. You're here too often.
Yeah, buddy. You were here yesterday. You don't need to be here every day, okay, getting these incredible deals.
Elisa asked, what about the players whose wives are pregnant? Scottie Scheffler's wife is very close to being due, and he has said Sam Burns' wife as well, and that if they go into labor, they're out of there. If you're like making picks, that is a legitimate concern that Scottie could be in the lead on Saturday morning, and he gets a call
he
on his cell phone, and
leaving
he is gone.
The Masters. There is
gone.
No way.
Just like Phil Mickelson said, he would be gone if the U.S. Open had gone to the playoff that year. Now, that was the year that he lost to, was it Payne Stewart, I think? And he had their first child was going to be born. And if he didn't win on Saturday, they were having the bay, or Sunday, they were having the bay on Monday. He was going to, like, I can't do a playoff, so I got to win it today.
My wife would not let me come home. She would make me stay at the Masters, especially if I was in the lead. Would you? What do you think?
If my wife was in the lead at the Masters
and I was going to have a baby,
I would make sure she stayed at the Masters.
If you were in the lead at the Masters.
I don't know. I'm not her. I can't tell you what she would say.
Yeah, but you've been married to her for 22 years. You have an idea of what her...
I think she'd want me to come be there for the baby.
So too. Polly, Mrs. Reindl?
Yeah, she'd want me there.
Yeah. Hannah would not. She told me she doesn't like when pitchers or players going paternity leave during the season. She doesn't believe it.
All right, Manny, you're on blast.
Manny,
already.
I'm sorry.
Like, lead.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if it changes. Like, firstborn, or is it second or third?
I think it absolutely matters. I think it absolutely matters.
Third child, you're in the lead at the Masters.
And again, set up a.
What, like set a lean-to or something?
No. Set up a Zoom so you can like
a little clinic.
Be there in the delivery
hey,
room.
How's it going? That's messy. Wow.
You know, and I get Scotty Scheffler's won a Masters, but this is what you work your whole life for, and you get only maybe a couple of opportunities where you're actually in contention.
But how many kids do you?
But you're going to be there for your kid for years and years and years. You don't actually have anything to do when you're the dad. On the delivery. You're mostly just in the way.
I told you.
Well, you don't have anything to do.
I took 2 weeks off for paternity. She made me cut it off after a week. So she just was not. She just is not. She doesn't believe in paternity leave.
She made you cut it off, or you were ready to get back?
I was ready to get back, but she was like, you go, please.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. I don't need you here. You don't have, functioning breasts. So.
I wonder if Luis Campusano has ever been to the Masters.
Yeah, I wonder.
He's from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Native. Awesome.
All right, we got to go to break.
All right, when we come back,
we got
some tickets to give away. San Diego Legion, again, Sunday, Snapdragon Stadium.
Hey, if you made it through Ben's Masters talk.
You get some tickets now to the Snapdragon Stadium NOLA Gold Legion rugby match on Sunday. Tickets are available at sdlegion.com, but you can win a pair right now, 833-288-0973. Third caller wins the pair of Legion tickets, 833-288-0973. Final segment will feature our friend Jen Sturger, comedian, going to be in town. Haven't caught up with her in a few months. She's not in studio. So.
Oh, bummer.
But she is going to give us a call when we come back next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Just saw our next guest tweet here. San Diego, one night only. I love that. One night only. Create some urgency.
Yeah, sense of urgency.
You miss it, you're out of luck. Our friend Jen Sturger is going to be performing at Mic Drop Comedy, Claremont Mesa, coming up on Friday.
Friday night?
Friday night, April 12th. And you can get your tickets now at MicDropComedy.com. But joining us is Jen Sturger, back here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Jen, good morning.
It's good to hear from you guys again. Is anyone dressed like Pikachu this time?
No, not this.
For holidays?
Not Comic-Con anymore.
It's not Comic-Con. If you guys missed that story, our
creepy boss is not
creepy
here.
Creepy boss hasn't lurked around. I'm surprised. Just he's probably listening intently at his radio. But we were set to meet up with Jen, and she got kind of she was shopping, and we missed each other.
We were doing videos down at Comic-Con, running around.
And the next thing you know, we're like, I guess we'll catch her next time. And we're walking away from the hotel. And Adam sees a woman leaning over, getting things out of the trunk from behind, and says, "Oh, I think that's her." And
like, we're 60 yards away.
Subscribes to my website.
Yeah, 60 yards away, he spots you from your rear end like a hawk.
Jen.
Oh, there she is. What? It's literally one of my favorite. I've got to do a lot of cool stuff at radio. That moment right there, he goes, oh, there she is. From behind. No one had seen your face.
Like, hey, isn't that Jen Sturger?
We're like, it's my favorite.
That's a butt in yoga pants. Well, I don't know, it could be anybody.
And it's a good...
It's honestly the exact opposite way I got discovered. So I'm like, I'll take it. You know, if I'm not recognizable from the back, I'll take it. It means I'm fighting the good fight against gravity at this point.
That's right. Well, it's a good segue into, and I know you've been talking about, you know, your new life as a single woman lately. And on some podcasts and things like that. I got to ask you, like, how's that been, the dating scene and whatnot?
Oh, it's an absolute hellscape. Are you kidding me? It's an absolute hellscape. But honestly, I think this time has been so good for me because I think there's so much stigma around getting divorced because you feel like a failure. But in reality, it's like if you end up leaving the person that you're with, and finding a better version of yourself, like it was worth it, you know? Sure. And I think this is the strongest I've ever felt on stage. I feel so connected and I feel like I'm so honest. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'm also doing the big Netflix is a Joke Festival up here in Los Angeles in May. Like that's huge, you know? So I feel like comedy is showing me that I made the right decision.
For sure. I just wanted to ask you, like, your DMs, are they insane? Is it just...
Do you even look?
Do you even look anymore?
No, I have certain words and blocked out, but every once in a while, you know, a noodle slips the pasta strainer. So.
Oh, no. Never works, by the way.
So I have a real question. And obviously, okay. I know that, you know, what you guys are referring to, that there are plenty of creeps out there. But, you know, from my perspective, and it's been a long time since I've been on the dating scene, but for a guy, my fear was always rejection. Do you ever have to worry about that? Like, oh, is this person actually going to be interested in me, or is that not an issue? And I just really want to know what it's like walking in your shoes a little bit.
Oh, no, I still get rejected. You know what I'm finding out is people don't know how old I am. And so younger guys will start talking to me, and then they quickly realize I could have babysat them at one point in their lifetime. And the conversation quickly pivots to, all right, well, I got to go now. So, yeah, that's actually happened a couple of times. And I'm like, wow, I live in Los Angeles for sure.
Yeah, it's very L.A. for sure. Talking to our pal Jen Sturger. So it sounds like everything is going really well as far as, like, material. It does give you the greatest comedians in my lifetime have always drawn on their pain for laughs. It's the only way to get through life. I laugh a lot. You know, I try to, because if you doom scroll, if you start worrying about this, that, and the other, you really can get bogged down. Having an outlet like that and a microphone, I'm so glad that I have one, and for you too, to get up on stage and say, yes, let's all mock my pain and laugh at it together. There's something really cathartic and vulnerable about that.
Yeah, it's so funny though. You mentioned doom scrolling, and I was like, I don't know. One of the ways I used to keep up with what you guys were doing is Twitter, and I can't get on there anymore because, like, the new algorithm or the way that the website works, like, I feel like it's just all porn bots.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely.
So I'll be like, what is Betty Woods up to? Oh, no, don't want to see that.
You know? Blank, like, in bio. Exactly. It's tough, man. But it gives you plenty of material and, I guess, inspiration to pull from.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the more honest you are on stage, the more the audience can vibe with you. You know, I've been touring a lot. I'm actually down in San Diego tonight, but that show is sold out with my friend Anna Akana. So Friday is going to be like the first time in a while that I've run, like, I've headlined. So I'm doing like a longer set. So I'm going to be trying a bunch of new stuff and obviously talking about my divorce and talking about just life in general. Still trying to figure out how to talk about the whole, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
You can Google it, guys, if you have no idea what I'm talking about.
The thing.
Still trying to figure out how that works. But I think one way or another, you know, hopefully I end up on Netflix. I hope it's not a true crime documentary, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you there. And I it's funny when a comedian says, I'm going to be trying some new stuff. That makes me excited. When a band says, we're going to be playing some new songs, I'm not happy about it at all.
Listen here, Billy Joel. We haven't cared about anything you've done since the early 90s.
It's funny you bring that up. My wife is going to Sting and Billy Joel
this weekend
on
right?
Saturday. Yeah. And I said, that's the whitest thing you've right. ever done. And you own a Tesla and you have a One Love tattoo. You're going to go to, Billy Joel and Sting on right. Saturday.
I have to admit, I just Googled The Thing and I just got a 1982 film about a research team in Antarctica.
You know what
hunted
she's
by
talking
a shape-shifting
about.
Alien.
You know what she's talking,
what we were
about.
Talking about.
I didn't really know what Thing.
The guy in the chat just told me I look like Billy Joel, so I'm gonna take off for this day.
I mean, if you shaved your head completely, I could maybe see it.
I hate it.
It's but so funny. Hair. Whenever I see pictures of Billy Joel with his kids, I'm like, that man's genes are strong. Like,
yeah.
He's with so many models, and all of his kids look like him.
I know. I know. Seriously.
And their daughters.
Talk about a bummer.
What's life on the road like?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you manage that sort of schedule in terms of different cities, different shows every week?
Bro, so many naps. There's just so many naps. People are like, oh, did you do anything cool today? I'm like, yeah, I got a good, solid 2-hour nap in the middle of the afternoon.
Comedy.
That's the only way I survive. It's just living in a bunch of strip malls and just a lot of like, honestly, running errands and then doing shows. Like, it's not as exciting as people think it is, because I have to save my energy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that. Did you see I got diagnosed with ADHD as an adult?
No, but I could have assumed it. I assume mostly everybody. Well, Like, we're going to meet you down at Comic-Con, and you're like, I may be there, I may not be there, I might be shopping, I needed a new bra, and you had to go to La Jolla to get a new bra. Like, I just assume, oh, yeah, she's ADHD like me.
She's like, you guys know she can get a bra, like, anywhere, right?
Right.
He's going to La Jolla.
Yeah, he went all the way to La Jolla to get a bra, by the way.
I'm brand loyal, okay?
I get you.
I'm the opposite, and it's a problem as well. I can't focus on more than one thing at a time.
No.
And I get so locked in that you cannot distract me from whatever I'm looking at or concentrating on. Yeah, it's actually
like
a problem.
Like my dog when he sees other dogs on a walk.
It's kind of like Adam and her derriere.
What's the opposite of Adderall? I need that.
Heroin. Barbiturates.
Ritalin?
Yeah, no.
No.
Hey, at least there's not a shortage of that right now.
That's
true. I love that they prescribe me something that they're like, you might be able to get it in 6 months.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we wish you the best. We know you're going to crush it, and make sure everybody goes out. Give the
tickets
info.
Are available. Mic Drop Comedy Friday night. MicDropComedy.com. It's in Claremont Mesa. You can see Jen Sturger performing on stage while she's in town here in San Diego. Jen, always best of luck to you, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. Hopefully Paul shows up this time. He's been ghosting me.
Oh, Paulie, playing the...
I was going to surprise you. I just bought two tickets like 20 minutes ago.
Big league.
Yes!
Imagine big leaguing
Paul's
her.
Paul's going to do a meet and greet, too.
We had like, I was in the hospital, I think, for one of them, and we had a dog in the emergency vet.
Dog stuff. That's true.
That's fair.
We'll see you Friday.
All right, well, it's so good to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You too. Keep up the great work. The great Jen Sturger on the program again. She's awesome, man. I love her. And that story with Adam remains just one of the...
I mean, sometimes you like to embellish your stories. That's pretty much how it happened.
It's not... I don't embellish. I have a lot of energy when I talk about them, but that was dead on. He just casually glanced and goes, oh, I think that's her right there. That's Jen. How do you know? She's not even turned around yet. And she...
I mean, Adam might say, well, there's a woman getting out. She was supposed to be here around this time. There's a woman over there getting out of her car.
It was Comic-Con. There were people.
You could not tell.
Everywhere.
There was no way you could tell.
And
it was
we
her.
Had already, I had texted her. She's like, oh, it's not going to happen today. It's all good. And she was, I just looked up the picture. She's wearing like a tank top and black yoga pants. Like every other person
woman
walking around out there. And Adam just goes,
God,
I'd recognize
dude.
That. But anyway,
That
unbelievable.
Was so good.
All right, last couple of minutes. We're going to check traffic. We'll preview today's homestand and series finale against the Cubs briefly next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, which Kyle Hendricks shows up for the Cubs this afternoon?
Come on.
Got 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt, 3:40 first pitch. Is it Kyle Hendricks, who is... fairly owned the Padres over his career.
Yes.
With a 2-something ERA.
2.74.
Many, many starts, and just always seems to keep the Padres off balance no matter who's in the lineup. Or is it Kyle Hendricks, who has been absolutely massacred in his first couple of starts this year and looks like he may be washed? If the Padres get that Kyle Hendricks, they got a good chance to win the series with Dylan Cease on the mound today. And if they win the series and start their week, 2-1, go to LA in a much better position to have a solid week here. They lose and, they're in danger of what I said on Monday. A 1-5 week puts you in a hole that you're going to be digging out of for a while. So this is a very important game for the San Diego Padres this afternoon.
And you've got your high leverage guys ready today. If Dylan Cease falters, Ben, you've got Suarez, who's ready at the back end if you can get a lead. And he's shown the ability. You got an off day tomorrow, so Mike Schill's not going to have any problem using him for more than three outs. Just need some offense. De Los Santos is fresh. Wandy Peralta is fresh. Yuki Matsui hasn't pitched in a couple days. He's fresh. So this is the one you got to get. Let's win a series today.
Cubs are a little less fresh. I mean, they had Azulay in both games. Yep. They've used some relievers. So, yeah, I mean, baseball's baseball and anything can happen. But this is one where you should have the advantage and want to take advantage of the advantage.
I mean, if Yan Gomes isn't in the lineup today.
Day game after a night game. I mean, Craig Counsell might put him back on the bench again.
Do they have an off day tomorrow too?
Now, there's no reason why Yan Gomes should own Dylan Cease just because he's wearing a Padres uniform.
You say that.
I know.
You say that.
I know. It doesn't make any sense though. There's no logic behind it why you'd have good success against one team. Now, I know guys maybe hit well in certain parks. They like the backdrop, whatever. But in terms of like facing a pitcher who's never been on a team before, that shouldn't carry over for a guy like Yan Gomes.
Yeah, one would think.
So, 3:40 game today. And then I assume the Padres will go home and drive up to L.A. tomorrow for a three-game series against the Dodgers. And, you know, get some of those games out of the way. Giants-Dodgers games early, and then, you know, you'll face them again later this season. But you just want to kind of tread water, as we said, against the Dodgers this year. They're 1-1 so far. You know, get one, maybe two this weekend would be fantastic.
Must win game today, Ben. Must win.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but
feels like
it's one that if you lose, you're going to be feeling in a really bad place, and if you win, you're feeling in a really good place. Not every game is like that over the baseball season. They, you know, they're all important, equally important, but there are certain milepost games where going into an off day, yeah, you're going to feel way better if you win, and if you're going to feel way worse if you lose this one. We'll see how it goes. Annie and Elston are coming up next. They'll take you for the next 4 hours. Great job by our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Just saw our next guest tweet here. San Diego, one night only. I love that. One night only. Create some urgency.
Yeah, sense of urgency.
You miss it, you're out of luck. Our friend Jen Sturger is going to be performing at Mic Drop Comedy, Claremont Mesa, coming up on Friday.
Friday night,
April 12th. And you can get your tickets now at micdropcomedy.com. But joining us is Jen Sturger, back here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Jen, good morning.
It's good to hear from you guys again. Is anyone dressed like Pikachu this time?
Or no, not this.
For holiday?
It's not Comic-Con anymore.
It's not Comic-Con. If you guys missed that story, our
creepy boss is not
creepy
here.
Creepy boss hasn't lurked around. I'm surprised. Just he's probably listening intently at his radio. But we were set to meet up with Jen, and she got kind of she was shopping, and we missed each other.
We were doing videos down at Comic-Con, running around.
And the next thing you know, we're like, I guess we'll catch her next time. And we're walking away from the hotel. And Adam sees a woman leaning over, getting things out of the trunk from behind, and says, "Oh, I think that's her." And
like, we're 60 yards away.
He subscribes to my website.
Yeah, 60 yards away, he spots you from your rear end like a hawk. Oh, there she is. What? It's literally one of my favorite. I've got to do a lot of cool stuff at radio. That moment right there, he goes, "Oh, there she is." From behind. No one had seen your face.
Like, hey, isn't that Jen Sturger?
We're like, it's my favorite.
That's a button yoga pants. Well, I don't know, it could be anybody.
And it's a good...
It's honestly the exact opposite way I got discovered. So I'm like, I'll take it. You know, if I'm not recognizable from the back, like, I'll take it. It means I'm fighting the good fight against gravity at this point.
That's right. Well, it's a good segue into, and I know you've been talking about, you know, your new life as a single woman lately and on some podcasts and things like that. I gotta ask you, like, how's that been, the dating scene and whatnot?
Oh, it's an absolute hellscape. Are you kidding me? It's an absolute hellscape. But honestly, I think this time has been so good for me because I think there's so much stigma around getting divorced because you feel like a failure. But in reality, it's like if you end up leaving the person that you're with and finding a better version of yourself, like, it was worth it, you know? Sure. And I think this is the strongest I've ever felt on stage. I feel so connected and I feel like I'm so honest. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'm also doing the big Netflix is a Joke festival up here in Los Angeles in May. Like, that's huge, you know? So I feel like comedy is showing me that I made the right decision.
For sure. I just wanted to ask you, like, your DMs, are they insane? Is it just,
do you even look
anymore?
You know, I have certain words and blocked out, but every once in a while, you know, a noodle slips the pasta strainer. So.
Oh no. Never works, by the way.
I have a real question. And obviously I know that, you know, what you guys are referring to, that there are plenty of creeps out there, but you know, from my perspective, and it's been a long time since I've been on the dating scene, but for a guy, my fear was always rejection. Do you ever have to worry about that? Like, oh, is this person actually going to be interested in me, or is that not an issue? And I just really want to know what it's like walking in your shoes a little bit.
Oh, no, I still get rejected. You know what I'm finding out is people don't know how old I am. And so younger guys will start talking to me And then they quickly realize I could have babysat them at one point in their lifetime. And the conversation quickly pivots to, all right, well, I got to go now. So, yeah, that's actually happened a couple of times. And I'm like, wow, I live in Los Angeles for sure.
Yeah, it's very L.A. for sure. Talking to our pal Jen Sturger. So it sounds like everything is going really well as far as, like, material. It does give you the greatest comedians in my lifetime. I've always drawn on their pain for laughs. It's the only way to get through life. I laugh a lot. You know, I try to, because if you doom scroll, if you start worrying about this, that, and the other, you really can get bogged down. Having an outlet like that and a microphone, I'm so glad that I have one. And for you too, to get up on stage and say, yes, let's all mock my pain and laugh at it together. There's something really cathartic and vulnerable about that.
Yeah, it's so funny though. You mentioned doom scrolling, and I was like, I don't know. One of the ways I used to keep up with what you guys were doing is Twitter, and I can't get on there anymore because, like, the new algorithm or the way that the website works, like, I feel like it's just all porn bots.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely.
So I'll be like, what is Betty Woods up to? Oh, no, don't want to see that.
You know? Blank,
like,
in bio. Exactly. It's tough, man. But it gives you plenty of material and, I guess, inspiration to pull from.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the more honest you are on stage, the more the audience can vibe with you. You know, I've been touring a lot. I'm actually down in San Diego tonight, but that show is sold out with my friend Anna Akana. So Friday is going to be like the first time in a while that I've run, like, I've headlined. So I'm doing like a longer set. So I'm going to be trying a bunch of new stuff and obviously talking about my divorce and talking about just life in general. Still trying to figure out how to talk about the whole, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
You can Google it, guys, if you have no idea what I'm talking about.
The thing.
Still trying to figure out how that works. But I think one way or another, you know, hopefully I end up on Netflix. I hope it's not a true crime documentary, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you there. And I it's funny, when a comedian says, I'm going to be trying some new stuff, that makes me excited. When a band says, we're going to be playing some new songs, I'm not happy about it at all.
Listen here, Billy Joel. We haven't cared about anything you've done since the early 90s.
It's funny you bring that up. My wife is going to Sting and Billy Joel
this weekend,
on Saturday. And I said, that's the whitest thing you've ever done. And you own a Tesla and you have a One Love tattoo. You're going to Billy Joel and Sting on Saturday.
I have to admit, I just Googled The Thing and I just got a 1982 film about a research team in Antarctica.
You know what
hunted
she's
by
talking
a shape-shifting
about.
Alien.
You know what she's talking,
what we were
about.
Talking about.
I didn't really know what Thing.
And the guy in the chat just told me I look like Billy Joel, so I'm gonna take off for this day.
I mean, if you shaved your head completely, I could maybe see it.
I hate it.
It's but so funny. Whenever I see pictures of Billy Joel with his kids, I'm like, that man's genes are strong. Like,
yeah.
He's with so many models, and all of his kids look like him.
I know. I know. Seriously.
And their daughters.
Talk about a bummer.
What's life on the road like?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you manage that sort of schedule in terms of different cities, different shows every week?
Bro, so many naps. There's just so many naps. People are like, oh, did you do anything cool today? I'm like, yeah, I got a good, solid two-hour nap in the middle of the afternoon. That's the only way I survive. It's just living in a bunch of strip malls and just a lot of like, honestly, running errands and then doing shows. Like, it's not as exciting as people think it is, because I just have to restore, like, I have to save my energy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that. Did you see I got diagnosed with ADHD as an adult?
No, but I could have assumed it. I assume mostly everybody. Well, like, we're going to meet you down at Comic-Con, and you're like, I may be there, I may not be there, I might be shopping, I needed a new bra, and you had to go to La Jolla to get a new bra. Like, I just assume, oh yeah, she's ADHD like me.
She's like, you guys know she can get a bra like anywhere, right?
Right.
He's going to La Jolla.
Yeah, he went all the way to La Jolla to get a bra, by the way.
I'm brand loyal, okay?
I get you.
I'm the opposite, and it's a problem as well. I can't focus on more than one thing at a time.
No.
And I get so locked in that you cannot distract me from whatever I'm looking at concentrating on. Yeah, it's actually a problem.
My dog, when he sees other dogs on a walk,
it's kind of like Adam and her derriere.
What's the opposite of Adderall? I need that.
Heroin. Barbiturates?
Ritalin?
Yeah, no.
No.
Hey, at least there's not a shortage of that right now.
That's
I
true.
Love that they prescribe me something that they're like, you might be able to get it in 6 months.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we wish you the best. We know you're going to crush it, and make sure everybody goes out. Give the
tickets
info
are available. Mic Drop Comedy Friday night. MicDropComedy.com. It's in Claremont Mesa. You can see Jen Sturger performing on stage while she's in town here in San Diego. Jen, always best of luck to you, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. Hopefully Paul shows up this time. He's been ghosting me.
Oh, wow. Paulie, playing the...
I was going to surprise you. I just bought two tickets like 20 minutes ago.
Big league.
Yes.
Imagine right, big leaguing
her. Paul's going to do a meet and greet, too.
We had like, I was in the hospital, I think, for one of them, and we had a dog in the emergency vet.
Dog stuff. That's true.
That's fair.
We'll see you Friday.
All right, well, it's so good to hear from you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You too. Keep up the great work. The great Jen Sturger on the program again. She's awesome, man. I love her. And that story with Adam remains just one of the... It's one of the best.
I mean, sometimes you like to embellish your stories. That's pretty much how it happened.
It's not... I don't embellish. I have a lot of energy when I talk about them, but that was dead on. He just casually glanced and goes, oh, I think that's her right there. That's Jen. How do you know? She's not even turned around yet. And she...
I mean, Adam might say, well, there's a woman getting out. She was supposed to be here around this time. There's a woman over there getting out of her car.
It was Comic-Con. There were people.
You could not tell.
Yeah.
There was no way you could tell.
And
it was
we
her.
Had already... I had texted her. She's like, oh, it's not going to happen today. It's all good. And she was... I just looked up the picture. She's wearing like a tank top and black yoga pants. Like every other
person woman
walking around out there. And Adam just goes,
great,
I'd recognize
dude.
That. But anyway, yeah.
That
unbelievable.
Was so good.
All right, last couple of minutes, we're going to check traffic. We'll preview today's homestand and series finale against the Cubs briefly next year on 97.3 The Fam. All right, which Kyle Hendricks shows up for the Cubs this afternoon?
Come on.
Got 2:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt, 3:40 first pitch. Is it Kyle Hendricks, who is... fairly owned the Padres over his career.
He has.
With a 2-something ERA.
2.74.
Many, many starts, and just always seems to keep the Padres off balance no matter who's in the lineup. Or is it Kyle Hendricks, who has been absolutely massacred in his first couple of starts this year and looks like he may be washed? If the Padres get that Kyle Hendricks, they got a good chance to win the series with Dylan Cease on the mound today. And if they win the series and start their week, 2-1, go to L.A. in a much better position to have a solid week here. They lose, and they're in danger of what I said on Monday. A 1-5 week puts you in a... put you in a hole that you're going to be digging out of for a while. So this is a very important game for the San Diego Padres this afternoon.
And you've got your high leverage guys ready today. If Dylan Cease falters, Ben, you've got Suarez, who's ready at the back end if you can get a lead. And he's shown the ability. You got an off day tomorrow, so Mike Schill's not going to have any problem using him for more than three outs.
Just need some offense.
De Los Santos is fresh. Wandy Peralta is fresh. Yuki Matsui hasn't pitched in a couple days. He's fresh. So this is the one you got to get. Let's win a series today.
Cubs are a little less fresh. I mean, they had Azulay in both games. Yep. They've used some relievers. So, yeah, I mean, baseball's baseball and anything can happen. But this is one where you should have the advantage and want to take advantage of the advantage.
I mean, if Yan Gomes isn't in the lineup today.
Day game after a night game. I mean, Craig Counsell might put him back on the bench again.
Do they have an off day tomorrow too?
Now, there's no reason why Yan Gomes should own Dylan Cease just because he's wearing a Padres uniform.
You say that.
I know.
You say that.
I know. It doesn't make any sense though. There's no logic behind it why you'd have good success against one team. Now, I know guys maybe hit well in certain parks. They like the backdrop, whatever. But in terms of like facing a pitcher who's never been on a team before, that shouldn't carry over for a guy like Yan Gomes.
Yeah, one would think.
So, yeah, 3:40 game today. And then I assume the Padres will go home and drive up to L.A. tomorrow for a 3-game series against the Dodgers. And, get some of those games out of the way. Giants-Dodgers games early. And then, you'll face them again later this season. But... you just want to kind of tread water, as we said, against the Dodgers this year. They're 1-1 so far. Get one, maybe two this weekend would be fantastic.
Must win game today, Ben. Must win.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but
feels like
it. It's one that if you lose, you're going to be feeling in a really bad place. And if you win, you're feeling in a really good place. Not every game is like that over the baseball season. They're all important, equally important. But there are certain milepost games where... going into an off day, Yeah, you're going to feel way better if you win, and if you're going to feel way worse if you lose this one. We'll see how it goes. Annie and Elston are coming up next. They'll take you for the next 4 hours. Great job by our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.